standard, a landlord can be held liable for a third party for an attack by a tenant's dog only if the landlord knew of the dog's presence on the leased property and had knowledge or should have known of its vicious propensities, and the landlord maintained control over the leased premises. It's very similar to Senate Bill 160 that we passed last year. There are no amendments. I move adoption of the favorable committee report.
Mr. President.
Let me recognize the Senator from Baltimore County, then we'll recognize the distinguished lady Senator from Baltimore County.
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
First, we got to deal with the favorable committee report. We're going to recognize the lady Senator from Baltimore County on the favorable report.
Yes. Did I understand you to say that the injured victim should not have to, should have an easy time proving that the owner should or should not have known?
Yes.
That is a burden to put on an injured victim.
No, what the bill does is it shifts the burden to the dog owner.
It's a burden that shouldn't even exist. The injured victim, if your tree, which has no consciousness whatsoever, were to fall on me, it's simply a fact that you're liable. You've got strict liability because your tree fell on me.
No, I only have strict liability if I'm negligent.
I am saying this, that if your dog bites me, I shouldn't have to hire a lawyer. I shouldn't have to go to court. I shouldn't have to deal with at all what you do or do not know and any standard that you might, that we might agree to for the proof by the owner of what he or she did or did not know. An elderly person, a little child who might have done nothing to be bitten, but they simply are a victim, should get immediate relief. It should be a strict liability arrangement. Well, to have to get a lawyer, wait, and you know how long it takes for civil cases to get to court, get on a docket at all, and to have no relief, to have medical bills, to have trauma, and to be waiting to prove what someone else knew or didn't know or their ability to do so is a problem. Why don't we just do what we do if anything else you own harmed me?
Well, first of all, for most everything else, it's a negligence standard. But I agree with you. And, in fact, I sponsored legislation that would do not quite what you're talking about, because there are always defenses. There's provocation, there's trespass, et cetera, that aren't covered under a strict liability, pure strict liability law. But we did that in special session. As you may remember, we passed it. It failed. Last session, we passed something very similar. We had a strict liability bill, the conference committee report, strict liability for any bite on somebody who's 12 years old or younger. That failed.
But we are giving in to the House of Delegates.
Well,
I think we should do what we know is right. We did right twice. We should come back until the House of Delegates is worn down, until their constituents are aware of their unreasonableness.
Well, that would be great if it didn't cause anybody problems in the meantime. And it does. It causes two sets of problems. First, it's bad for victims, because victims right now, for the past 2 years, while this common law has been in effect, victims don't have any victims have to go into court and prove that the landlord knew or should have known. That won't be the case if we pass this bill. So victims have a much higher burden under the law that's in effect today.
Wouldn't
and
it be
second,
better to get
wait,
it right, though, for the victim
wait,
in the long
well,
run?
So wait, second, there has been a problem for the past couple of years because landlords, because of the Selesky ruling, have been saying, look, your dog, saying to their tenant, your dog looks like a pit bull to me. So either you're out or the dog's out. And so people lose their homes or they lose their dogs. And if you go to the animal shelter facilities around the state, what you'll see is cages and cages and cages of animals that look like pit bulls. They may not actually be pit bulls, but they're there because landlords have said, you can't have that dog in my apartment. And so what happens is people are giving up their pets. They don't get adopted. They get euthanized. So we've got two two problems under existing law.
I agree that the Court of Appeals gave us a bad ruling. But we need to do right by human victims for the long haul, rather than to say we'll take a short-term fix that still leaves them on a partially hold and not totally.
Well, it's not a short-term fix, I would say. I mean, we've had this law in effect in our state for hundreds of years. And if you want to improve it, we have an opportunity. If you don't want to improve it, victims are going to suffer for the next year, and people who own pit bulls are going to suffer for the next year.
I appreciate the answer, but this is not really fixing it. Thank you.
Now we're going to recognize another distinguished gentleman from Baltimore County to the rear of the chamber.
Thank you. I mean, I know we have to do the favorable committee report, but I just wanted to respond to something the senator from Baltimore County said. This is not a bill that's good for victims. And I'm going to explain that in a number of ways. We're going to have the amendment that turns this right, but at the end of the day, this court case is horrendous. I mean, it's really bad, as the chairman said. And his bills the last 2 years have been correct. And he's correct that the House of Delegates also has been unreasonable on this and has really, I think, been led astray, for lack of a better term. But at the end of the day, this bill does not move the needle forward for many victims. Today, as we sit here, if you are bit by a pit bull, at the very least, the owner's responsible for that. If you pass this bill for all of the bites by individuals, and many of them are very serious in the inner city and so forth, I mean, a lot of them are documented in Baltimore City. If you're bit by a pit bull, at least today the owner's responsible for that. They should be responsible regardless if it's the first bite or the 20th bite. I don't know what the relevance of that, but for all of those victims of pit bull bites, we're moving the needle backwards. So don't think that this somehow moves it forward because, you know, our own DLS gave a report detailing, it's hard to come up with these stats, but in the United States, for instance, they detailed out of the 251 deaths, 151 of them were by pit bulls. For those victims, this bill moves the needle not forwards, but backwards to the one free bite rule, or what's inartfully referred to that. I mean, I don't know what the relevance to the members across the hall, whether it's the first bite, the second bite or not, but if you have some victim that gets attacked through no fault of their own, I don't know why in the world we would hold that victim responsible for their own injuries. And we're going to get into it. We're going to have an amendment that does just that.
Thank you. The floor here, I just have a couple quick questions. Thank you very much. Just more procedural things. I see it talks about the rebuttable presumption.
Right.
And so it's my understanding from the bill then that there will be a presumption that the dog is vicious or dangerous.
Correct.
And then the owner of the dog would then have the ability to rebut it.
Correct.
By showing that they didn't know or
whatever. Right.
There's other places in laws where we've been dealing with presumptions. In our committee, we do an awful lot of presumption dealing with workers' compensation. And we get battles over using the word rebuttable. Why was it important to put the word rebuttable? Can a presumption always be rebuttable, or you actually have the word rebuttable in the language?
You can have a non-rebuttable presumption, but it's rare.
So would it have been assumed to be rebuttable even without that word, and you just put it there to make
sure?
Sorry,
would it be what?
Would it have been assumed to be rebuttable even if the word wasn't there? I don't know.
I think so, but it's better to make it clear.
Okay, that's fine. I just had a question about that because we've had that issue in our committee. The other question I have is there's actually a provision here that says that a judge cannot, on his or her own findings, say that there has been rebutted the presumption. I assume in law that judges can do that, but we're not letting them do that here.
That's correct.
Okay, what was the rationale for that?
The rationale is that it gives the victim more protection. The case goes to the jury, and I want to answer that more fully by in part responding what the senator from Baltimore County said. I looked over the past weekend at every case I could find on dog bites to see whether there's a reported opinion where a victim has gone uncompensated because of the fact that the owner of the dog didn't know that the dog was vicious. I couldn't find one. I mean, we're talking about 200 years of case law, I could not find a single case where somebody suffered a serious dog bite and was uncompensated as a result of the fact that the owner didn't know that the dog was vicious. I was unsure that I had covered the waterfront. I asked the Department of Legislative Services to look at it for me. They came up with the same cases that I did. I'm not saying it's never happened, but what I'm saying is if you look at all the reported cases in Maryland law, I can't find one, DLS can't find one, where a plaintiff has been uncompensated for that reason. I agree, however, in theory, with the senator from Baltimore County. It would be better to move the needle more in the direction of victims. Now, there's a fairly even split among the states on this. There are 21 states that have a pure, strict liability standard. There's no question of proving or not proving whether the owner knew or should have known. Another 11 states have conditional strict liability. They say you're strictly liable if your dog's running at large. They may say you're strictly liable unless somebody's trespassing, or you're strictly liable if some other conditions apply. But so it's about even. Maryland law is not much different from the ones that say you're strictly liable if your dog is running at large, because in 22 of the 24 jurisdictions in Maryland, there is a law that says your dog must be on a leash. It may not run at large. So if the dog injures somebody when it's running at large, there's a prima facie case that you are negligent and you are going to be held responsible. So we're right in the middle of where the states are on this issue. The bill that you have before you will push us closer to the states that have a pure strict liability standard, but it doesn't quite get us there. This is a bill that I think will pass. It's a bill that's fair to victims, it's fair to pet owners, and it's fair to landlords. It will move the ball toward justice for each class, and I think it's an important step to take.
Okay, and this is a more procedural question. I mean, we're certainly talking about important issues here, but I just want to make sure I understand that. So the judge would not have the ability to say, as a matter of law, it was rebutted. How about after the jury verdict comes back, would the judge have the ability to do a judgment notwithstanding the verdict?
Yes.
That's still available?
Yes.
Okay. And again, I know that goes beyond what – I just want to make sure I understand.
Yeah, and there's an attorney general's opinion that says this is constitutional. The Constitution specifically says that the judiciary can create rules of procedure, but it also says that the General Assembly can. That's what we're doing.
Thank you.